Hello, this is Millie Long from University of North Carolina at Chapel Hill. I'm one of the co-editors-in-chief of the American Journal of Gastroenterology, and I'm thrilled to have my guest, Dr. Neil Sengupta from University of Chicago, where he is associate professor of medicine and also chairs the ACG Practice Parameters Committee. And Neil will be speaking to us today about the newest guideline the ACG has published, which is on lower GI bleeding. So Neil, thanks so much for joining me.
Thanks for having you, Millie.
So for our patients out there who are interested, you know, lower GI bleeding is actually really common. You and I both work on the consult services in our hospital, and it's one of the more common, you know, issues that our patients come in for into the emergency room. And so kind of identifying this becomes really important. Could you first talk to us about the signs and symptoms of a lower GI bleed?
Absolutely. So lower GI bleeding is one of those conditions in which there may be a spectrum of different signs and symptoms. So it can range from anywhere from having a little bit of blood in your stool to seeing passage of large amounts of blood clots. What we normally tell patients is that bleeding is always something that's abnormal and needs to be evaluated by your doctors, because there are a variety of different causes of bleeding, but ultimately the main symptom is blood or dark blood or bright red blood in the stools. That's the norm. And that can be accompanied with other findings such as low blood counts or anemia and other symptoms such as lightheadedness, dizziness, and abdominal pain.
Great. Yes, absolutely. To be on the lookout and contact your doctor and or seek urgent care should those symptoms arise. So what are the causes of a lower GI bleed?
So lower GI bleeding comprises multiple different etiologies and causes of bleeding. Most commonly, the common causes are diverticular bleeding, which is a pocket or an area in the colon that can then erode into a blood vessel, and that usually presents with a large amount of bright red blood in the stool. Other causes of bleeding can include blood vessels in the colon that can bleed, areas of inflammation of the colon that can bleed, inflammatory bowel disease that hasn't been diagnosed, or colorectal cancer or large polyps. Ultimately, you should talk to your doctor about whether you need a colonoscopy to determine what is the likely cause of my bleeding.
Absolutely, that colonoscopy becomes very important because obviously that impacts treatment. Each of those individual aspects is treated differently. You know, one of the things our listeners may be interested in is this preventable? If someone has a lower GI bleed, let's say through one of the most common reasons, which is a diverticular bleed, is there anything someone with a diverticular bleed can do to try to prevent a recurrence?
Certainly. So we have some data that has suggested that certain medications may increase the risk of diverticular bleeding. The ones that have been shown to be associated with an increased risk are non-steroidal anti-inflammatory drugs like ibuprofen, Aleve, Naproxen. Aspirin and non-aspirin antiplatelets have also been associated with an increased risk of diverticular bleeding. So I think it's important to talk to your doctor about whether or not you have an indication to be on NSAIDs or antiplatelets. And if there's no strong indication to be on those medications, then stopping them or not using them may decrease your risk of diverticular bleeding. In terms of the other causes, I think making sure that you're up to date with colon cancer screening is going to be an important possible thing you can do to prevent future bleeding. And then if you have hemorrhoidal bleeding, then, you know, managing constipation or using fiber can also prevent bleeding. So those are probably the things that we talk to patients about.
No, that's great. And really, you know, colonoscopy obviously can help to diagnose a cause of lower GI bleeding, but in some instances can actually treat a bleed. Would you walk us through that? Are there etiologies where the colonoscopy can actually stop the bleeding?
Definitely. So when we do a colonoscopy, our number one goal is to determine, you know, why the colon is bleeding. And we have a variety of tools in our arsenal to try to stop the bleeding. If you have bleeding vessel, for example, then we have the ability to place clips through the colonoscope to close that site. We can use cautery to burn areas like a blood vessel, for example, to reduce the risk of further bleeding. We can inject things like epinephrine into the colon to close the vascular supply. We can place a rubber band around an area to decrease the risk of further bleeding. So there are a variety of things that we can do at the time of colonoscopy to treat bleeding. Ultimately, really depends on what the specific cause is and you know, other things like what medications the patient's on, what is the risk of recurrent bleeding. So there's a variety of things we can do at the time of colonoscopy.
And obviously the colonoscopy is one and the main way to treat these bleeding, but there can be other ways to treat lower GI bleeding as well. Some of these are radiologics. At some point, a doctor may recommend to a patient that they have a radiology procedure. Is that right?
Absolutely. So one of the main diagnostic tests that recommend for patients who have a severe lower GI bleed is a test called a CT angiogram. That special type of CT scan where we look at the blood vessels near the colon to see if there's leakage of contrast that could be suggestive of an active bleed. And if that's the case, then we call interventional radiology colleagues where they can do a specific procedure called an angiography, where they inject dye into your blood vessels and they can actually shoot out particles to try to block the blood supply from an actively leaking blood vessel into the gut. And so that is also an effective therapeutic way that we can take care of an active bleed.
Wonderful. And so I think, you know, kind of some of the primary take-home points for our listeners would be to recognize the signs and symptoms of bleeding and to seek care for that with your either your primary doctor or even if you have urgent symptoms in the emergency room, that there can be a number of causes that we can diagnose with a colonoscopy and that we certainly have treatments available as well, whether through radiology or through a repeat colonoscopy. And so I think those take-home messages become very important in regards to lower GI bleeding. You know, as you worked on this guideline to really put the best evidence out there and help us providers provide the best level of care, is there one take-home point from the guideline that you think may be most important for our listeners?
Well, from the patient perspective, I think the key things to take home are that any bleeding is something that needs to be evaluated by your physician. We need to make sure that it's not something serious. Those serious things could include something like colon cancer or colon polyps that can bleed. So you want to make sure you talk to your doctor about whether or not you need a colonoscopy. And if you have severe bleeding, you need to come to the emergency room because that's something that can be very severe. It can be associated with a low blood pressure or high heart rate. And I think the other thing to talk to your doctors about are if you're on anticoagulant medications or antiplatelet medications, you should really determine whether you absolutely need to be on those medications. If you've had a bleed, we also want you to restart those medications if that's appropriate, because what ends up happening is that some patients end up holding their anticoagulant medications or antiplatelet medications after having an episode of bleeding, but that could put them at risk for future heart attacks or strokes. So it's going to be important to talk to your doctors about what medications you need or don't need to be on.
Fantastic. Wonderful take-home pearls. And thank you again, Dr. Sengupta, for joining us today to answer these important questions.
Thank you so much for having me. I appreciate it.